Would you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15? That song, I believe, was a wonderful introduction to what I desire to preach on this morning. That verse, "In the Beloved, I went to the tree." That just absolutely enamors me. The thought of union with the Lord Jesus Christ. If He did it, I did it. Who He is, where He is, what He did, I am. Isn't that wonderful? Union with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's hard to use an earthly illustration, but I heard this recently and it was very helpful to me. When two rivers meet and become one, are they still two separate rivers real close together? No, they're one, aren't they? They're one. And I am one. Every believer is one with the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful thought. One with Christ. I'm going to try to preach upon this subject. I've entitled this message, Three Critical Questions. And I asked myself, well, what do I mean by critical? Well, I looked the word up in Webster's dictionary, and he said it means nicely exact, skilled in criticism, censorious. And that's not really what I was looking for. And here was his last definition, pertaining to the turning point of a disease. Someone's in critical condition. You've heard that. Pertaining to the turning point of a disease. Now, the questions that I want to ask, and they're all found in one verse of Scripture. We're going to read that in just a moment, and I want you to look for these questions and their answers in this verse of Scripture. But here's the first critical question. What really happened in the Garden of Eden? I know you knew what took place, but what really happened? And the second critical question is, what really happened on the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ? What really happened? And thirdly, what really happens in a sinner's heart when God saves that sinner? When he's going in one direction and God turns him, what really happens in his heart when God saves that sinner? Now, those are three critically important questions, aren't they? And let me also say this, these three questions cannot be separated. To know the answer to one is to know the answer to them all. And to miss one, you miss the answer to them all. Now, I'd like you to read with me 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22, and you look for the answers to these three critical questions in this one verse of Scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22. "For as in Adam, all die, even so, in Christ shall all be made alive." Now, in that verse of Scripture, we have the answer to all three of those critical questions. Three major events. The first, the fall of our first parents in the Garden of Eden. You know the story. What really happened? The event of events, the hour for which our Lord said He came into this earth, His death. What really happened? And when God does something for somebody, what really happens? Just about everybody has their opinion on what took place, but what does the Bible actually teach? And I pray that this message will be a turning point for you and for me. Wouldn't that be something? Now, the first critical question is, what really happened in the Garden of Eden? Now, this is so very important for us to understand this. Somebody once said, if you're wrong on the fall, you're wrong on it all. And that's so. It's of utmost importance that you and I have some understanding of what took place in the garden. Now, you know the story. It's not a myth. It's not a type. It is an actual event. God created Adam upright. He placed him in the garden. He gave Eve as his helpful companion. And they were given everything their heart could desire. A life of pleasure and happiness. He gave them one commandment. Do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. Now, Satan deceived Eve. She ate of the fruit. She told Adam about it. He ate of the fruit. And the Scripture says the eyes of them both were opened and they knew that they were naked. Now, before this took place, the Scripture points out they were naked and they were not ashamed. It was not an issue with them. It was not a problem. But now something has taken place. And it's altogether different. Now, what really happened? What took place in this event? Well, would you turn with me to Genesis chapter 2? Verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, notice what the Lord said. He did not say, if you eat of the fruit, you shall surely die. He said, in the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. What took place in the Garden of Eden when they fell? Here's my first answer. The purpose of God was fulfilled. Did God know that they would eat of that fruit before it took place? Well, sure He did. Could He have prevented it? Sure He could. He's God. Did He prevent it? No. Why? Because it was His purpose. He said, in the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. Now, when we ask the question regarding anything, what really happened, here's our first answer. The will of the Lord was done. God's purpose was being fulfilled. He said in Isaiah chapter 45, verses 6 and 7, I am the Lord and there's none else. I'm God and there's none beside me. I form the light and I create darkness. I make peace. I create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Now somebody says, are you saying the Lord's the author of evil? No, I didn't say that. I just read Scripture. God is in absolute control and nothing happens without His will. You know, people talk about the directive will and the permissive will of God, kind of like one's less His will than the other. No, He is God. God. And when Adam fell, it was all a part of His glorious purpose, just like everything else is. You know, if Adam would have never eaten of that fruit, what would we ever know about mercy? What would we ever know about grace? What would we ever know about forgiveness? What would we ever know about the joy of faith in Christ? You see, God does what He does to make Himself known. And if He purposed this to happen, obviously it was best for it to happen. God's will was done. That's the first answer to that question. But what does it say in our text? For as in Adam, all die. Adam died that very day spiritually. You know, he didn't die physically, but he did die spiritually. And what is death? It's the departure of life. It's always so solemn to look in the casket of somebody you once knew that was alive, that you knew, that you loved, that you communed with. And now there's nothing but a corpse. Life has departed. It's no longer there. A dead person can no longer perform the functions of life. They can't hear. They can't feel. They can't smell. They can't taste. They can't see. They are dead. Adam died spiritually. He became unable to see the beauty of Christ. He became unable to hear the gospel. Oh, he could hear it audibly, but he couldn't hear it with understanding. He lacked the ability. He lacked the ability to believe. This is the motion of life. He lacked the ability to repent. He lacked the ability to love. He was dead in sins. A heart of stone. You know the heart. The Bible says so much about the heart. You know what the heart is? The heart is the whole man. It's the understanding. It's the affections. It's the will. Adam couldn't understand the gospel now. Oh, you could. It doesn't matter how clear and plain you make it. He lacks the ability to understand, not with a true understanding. He has no will for Christ. He has no affections for Christ. He's dead in sins. He cannot do anything to save himself. What really happened in the garden? Adam died. What hope is there for someone who's dead to live? It's only a miracle of God that can do that, isn't it? Adam died. What happened in the garden? Well, the Scripture says, in Adam, all die. You and I died in Him. When He died, we died. And you and I are held personally responsible for what He did. In Adam, all die. For by one man, sin entered the world, and death by sin. So that death passed upon all men, in that all have sinned. When He sinned, I sinned. When He was condemned, I was condemned. Now, somebody may be thinking, how could it be fair? How could it possibly be fair for me to be held responsible for something that I didn't do? How could God be fair to condemn me and to judge me for something that I personally didn't do? That doesn't seem fair. Okay, let's just forget Adam right now. Let's forget your connection with Adam. How have you done on your own? Let's say you weren't connected with Adam. How have you done? Would it do you any good at all to not be connected? You're just as guilty. Now see, here's the hope. Here's the hope. Yeah, if you can be condemned for somebody else's sin, you can also be justified because of somebody else's righteousness. So really, the only hope you and I have is found in this. We were all condemned in Adam. In Adam, all die. and this death manifests itself in this way, all men are now by nature God's enemies. And that's a solemn thing to think about. All men by nature. I was born into this world an enemy of God. The Scripture says in Romans 8:7, the carnal mind, that's the fleshly mind, that's the mind you and I are born with. We come into this world with this. The carnal mind is enmity. It is hatred against God. It's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. Now that's the scriptural description of the way I'm born into this world. And let me say this. Don't look within yourself to try to figure this out. Look to what God says. This is God's testimony, and the proof of this is the cross. The one time men were left to do what they wanted to do, and God took away the restraints, and God left men to their own will. It says, as a matter of fact, in Luke's account, He delivered him to their will. The one time men were left to do what they wanted to do, they put to death the Son of God. And you and I would be right there with them. Do you believe that? If God left you to yourself, that's where you'd be. What happened in the Garden of Eden? God's purpose was done. Adam died. You and I died in him. And all men became enemies of the Lord, incapable of doing anything to save themselves. Now, the next critical question, what really happened on the cross? Now we read, in Adam all die, even so, in the same manner, just like everybody Adam represented died, everybody that Christ represented, all those in Him are made. Whatever I am, I was made by what Christ did on the cross. As in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Now what is this thing of being in Christ? We just heard that beautiful song, In the Beloved Accepted Am I. It's talking about being united to Christ. It's talking about union with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me show you an example of this in the Scripture. Would you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 7? Verse 9. And as I may so say, Levi also, who receiveth tithes, paid tithes in Abraham. Now, when this was said of Levi, was Levi born yet? No, he wasn't even born yet. But yet the Holy Spirit says, Levi paid tithes. It doesn't say he did it representatively. It said he paid them. He paid them before he was ever born. For he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. When Abraham paid those tithes, everybody in his loins paid those tithes. It's not as if they did it or just like they did it. No, they did it. Now, in Christ, everybody he represented, everybody united to him, all of the company of God's elect, in Christ shall all be made alive. Now, what took place? It's a historical fact that Jesus of Nazareth was betrayed unjustly, tried, and nailed to a cross. And he hung there in indescribable agony and pain. And they took him down from that cross dead. What took place? What really happened? Well, once again, our first answer is, the will of the Lord was done. God's purpose was fulfilled. He's called in Revelation 13:8, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Do you know that the lamb slain was... I know there's no such thing as eternity past and eternity future. I realize that. This is weakness in language. We can't talk about eternity without that. But do you know, before time began, what was the subject of the eternity? The lamb slain from the foundation of the world. What will be the subject when time is no longer? The lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And He came in time to fulfill His Father's will. God's will was done. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and with wicked hands have crucified and slain. God's will was done. Listen to this scripture from Acts chapter 13, verse 29. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of Him. Do you hear that? When they had fulfilled all that was written of Him, they took Him down from the tree. What happened? Nothing more or less than the will of God being done. Whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. But why was He there? What was the reason? He died. Now why? Why do men die? One answer to that question. Sin. The only reason any man dies is because of sin. Isn't that so? Now what happened on the cross? A real substitution took place. A real substitution took place. He took my place. He took what I deserve. The sins of the elect literally became His. The Scripture says, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree. I was thinking about this morning, and it just, I don't even know what to say about it. When the Lord said from the cross, He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why? Because He deserved to be forsaken by God. My sin, the sins of all of His people, actually became His. Literally became His. And that's why God forsook Him. The soul that sinneth shall surely die. My sin became His and He died. Question, would God put a man to death for something he didn't do? Now, can you answer that? Would God put a man to death for something he did not do? The answer to that is no. My sin, and this is the mystery of the gospel. My sin became His. And that's why God forsook Him. A real substitution took place. But not only did a real substitution take place, a real satisfaction took place. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. God proved He was satisfied by raising Him from the dead. Payment was made, the law was honored, justice was satisfied, and God said, I can ask no more. He was delivered for our offenses, and He was raised again for our justification. God said, I'm satisfied with Him and everybody He did it for. On the cross, a real satisfaction took place. And on the cross, a real reconciliation took place. Turn with me for a moment to Romans chapter 5. Verse 10. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. When were we reconciled to God? When we were enemies. How were we reconciled to God? By the death of His Son. God was reconciled to everybody Christ died for by the death of His Son. A real reconciliation took place. How real? Turn with me to Colossians 1. Verse 20. You know, there are people here that attend Todd's Road Grace Church, and they can tell you I probably quote these scriptures almost weekly. I think I do. And you know, they're just as powerful and fresh and wonderful to me now as ever. Listen to this, beginning in verse 20, Colossians chapter 1. And having made peace through the blood of His cross by Him, to reconcile all things unto Himself. By Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you. And this is not talking about a future event. It can just as easily read, having presented you. It's in the past tense. Having presented you. This presentation has already taken place when He ascended back to the Father. Having presented you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. Now, if it says I'm holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight, you know what that means? That means I am holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. You see, God can see real well. He can see better than you and I can see. And as He sees it, that's the way it is. And that is what was accomplished by the Lord Jesus on the cross. In Christ shall all be made. Now, whatever I made, I was made on the cross of Calvary. So what took place on the cross? God's will was done. A real substitution took place. A real satisfaction took place. And a real reconciliation took place. Now here's the third critical question. What really takes place in a sinner's heart when God saves them? Well, let's read the scripture again. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Life from the dead. In Christ shall all be made alive. Saul of Tarsus is on the way to Damascus to have anybody who loves Christ put to death. He hated the Christ. Is there any doubt about that? He hated the Christ. Why, he even held the coats of the people who stoned Stephen to death. But something happened to him. Something happened. He now loves Christ more passionately than he'd ever hated Him. He now preached the faith that he once labored to destroy. What happened to Saul? What happens in a sinner's heart when God saves him? Well, what was the answer to my first two points? What happened in the garden? God's will was done. What happens? Or what happened on the cross? God's will was done. Thirdly, What happens in a sinner's heart when God saves them? God's will is done. James 1:18 says, of His own will begat He us through the word of truth. God's will is done. What happens? Life from the dead. Now understand, this is not merely light. This is not enlightenment, getting your way of thinking and your mistaken notion straightened out. This is life from the dead. And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. A new heart. One that was not there before. He doesn't change the old heart. He doesn't straighten out the old way of thinking and just give you proper information and proper life. No, there's a new heart. A new heart also will I give you. A new heart that was not there before. A new nature. Partakers, 2 Peter 1:4, of the divine nature. Passing from death to life. Life from the dead, a resurrection from the dead, a new creation. And now, because you have this new heart, you're reconciled to God. You're no longer God's enemy. You actually love God as He's revealed in His Word, and you wouldn't change Him if it were in your power to do it. You love Him just as He is. You love His gospel. You love His way of saving. You love His people. You love everything about Him. You love everything connected with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You've been given a new heart. One that wasn't there before. There was a time when you didn't love God. You do now. Why? Life from the dead. What happens in a sinner's heart when God saves them? Life from the dead, evidenced by reconciliation. You're reconciled to God. He's reconciled to you through the death of His Son, and you're reconciled to Him because of the death of His Son. That's what happens in a sinner's heart when God saves them, life from the dead. Now, three critical questions. What really happened in the garden? What really happened on Calvary's tree? And what happens in a sinner's heart when God saves him? And they're all so interrelated, aren't they? To know the answer to one is necessarily to know the answer to all three. And to be wrong on one is to be wrong on all three. And oh, that God would give us grace to truly know the answer to these questions that would be the turning point of our disease. Amen. Pastor.